Father, bilhan niyo ako kami, Father.
May award kami, Father.
Father, may award kami, Father.
Ah, for graduation.
Father, kami rin, Father.
Kailangan graduation ninyo?
27
birthday ko yan.
30.
What are they saying to
you? They all need haircuts and they want to get haircuts and buy their clothes for their graduation. Because the graduation is on the 30th, you know. With all these children, there's so many things they keep asking, they need. And they it's a big excitement for them because they've never graduated before.
Buhay nga ba'y sadyang ganyan? Ang hirap ay di natin maiwasan. Kalungkutan ay lagi na lang. Kasiyahan ay minsan lang makamtan. O buhay.
We're sitting here at the Prada Center on the veranda, looking out over the Subic Bay. And as we look to the southwest, we see an island at the mouth of the bay called Grande Island. That's part of the U.S. Naval Base Reservation, and that's a holiday resort for the sailors. And if we look directly south, we're looking out over the QB Naval Air Station and the forest of the Navy magazine, where they keep all these missiles and weapons and ammunition and what have you in there. Looking out over the open part of the bay, you'd never imagine, no, there is a huge military base. This is one of the biggest military bases, actually, inside or outside the continental USA. And we must say, well, because of this location here, that's one of the reasons we have nightclub owners and politicians would like to get this land where we have the rehabilitation center, you know, for the drug dependents and for the street children. And the sunset goes down here every night, you know, and we sit out here with the boys and, you know, with the children, and well, you know, it's for them and they should enjoy it, and I'm glad that they have a chance to enjoy it rather than going for more nightclubs and bars. I see a great big this is looks like a Galaxy C5, one of the biggest aeroplanes in the world is coming into land at QB. It's bigger than a jumbo. That's a massive aeroplane. It's huge. You can put, I think, 5-6 battle tanks inside that. A couple of helicopters. You can hear it now coming over. Look at it. Oh, it's just huge, isn't it? Besides the aeroplanes, we're aware of the military base because of so many U.S. sailors coming out in town. And we're aware of it because of the abuse of women and children, no? That's the social cost, the social impact is terrible. And in our work for the Filipinos, we're constantly reminded of this very unhappy relationship between the U.S. Navy people and the Filipinos.
There are 5,000 military personnel permanently stationed at Subic Naval Base. This number more than doubles when the 7th Fleet escort ships come into port every few months. The Prada Rehabilitation Centre was set up by Dublin priest Shay Cullen in 1973 to help street children. Inside the centre, Shay gave me the sad history of some of the children of Olongapo.
I guess the first big shocker for me and the eye-opener was in 1982, when one of the sisters came and told me that they had many children discovered in their clinic who had venereal disease, and there was 18 of them. And they had been brought to the mayor, and he had put them in the local hospital to be treated. But it discovered that U.S. sailors were sexually abusing them. By the time we found them and went down to interview them in the hospital, the Americans had disappeared and were allowed to escape. So these children had been very badly abused, and all had syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes. It's really terrible. 9 years old, 10, 11, 12... like that. Then in other cases, last year was the case of Rosario Baluyo. Rosario was a young 12-year-old girl and running around the streets, you know, abandoned by her father. Her mother was dead, I think. And she was picked up by a tourist from Austria and with another little boy brought to a hotel.
sexually abused. He used a sexual vibrator in her body, and it broke inside her body, and she died a few months later of a terrible internal disease or infection. And it was a horrendous death for a young child. They tried to cover it up here. They tried to pay off the complainant, you know, the grandmother, but we were able to stop that. So we really fought hard that some justice for this kid would be done. And we got it, at least a tourist. It was a lot of evidence. And he tried to pay off, which was a sign of guilt. And he was convicted to life imprisonment. He's appealing that case. Another case now here, more recently, is some of the street children that we've been helping here at Preda. These children were sexually abused by two sailors. One retired, living here in Longopo City, and the other active inside a military base. So we were able to get the children to tell us everything. And the mother was the pimp. She was so poor and in terrible poverty. But she's been, when she was 14 years old, she was sexually abused herself, and she's been a prostitute all that time and is still in terrible poverty. And so started to bring her daughter, you know, and sell her to the sailors. And we were able to get her to confess and point out who they were and make statements, and so did the children. So there was a very strong case. So we helped the children file a complaint against them, and it's pending now here. This will be the first time ever there was a case like this successfully pursued in Philippine courts.
What's your name?
Ian.
What age are you, Ian?
Grade 6.
Grade 6. What age are you?
13 years old.
You were living on the street, were you?
We have a house here, but my father and my mother can't
look after you.
Yeah.
Your mother and father couldn't keep you because they had not enough money. That must have made you very sad.
Yes.
How many children do they have?
6. I am the eldest in the.
And did you have to give them money?
Sometimes my mother is asking me, do you have some money? Your younger brother has no milk.
No food?
Yeah.
And did you give her money?
Sometimes. When I get some money, I'm going to give it to her to buy her food.
Did you have any problem with prostitution? Did anybody ask you to?
No. No. Mm-hmm.
What about your friends?
May kikilala mo na ay sumama sa Canosa Hotel.
Minsan, meron po.
Meron. Yes, there was some I know.
Who would they go with?
Sinong kasama sila sa...
Yung dalawa po, Father, si Andrea. Kasama ko rin po sila, siya si Christia.
There we go. I go before in the same group as Andrea and Christina. Now, they are the two children who were sexually abused by these Americans.
And do you stay here now?
Yeah.
You sleep here?
Yeah, I'm staying here.
Do you like it?
Yes.
Why?
Kasi po, napapag-aral ako, tapos, ano.
I'm happy here because I'm able to go to school now and I'm changing my life.
What do you hope for the future? For your future?
To finish my studies and have a good job.
What's your name?
Raquel Malate.
How old are you?
12 years old.
Why are you here?
My family's poor.
And were you living on the street?
Yeah.
What did you do there?
I selling a gum.
Selling chewing gum?
Yeah.
And what did you do then?
Then I buy some food.
What food?
Rice.
And where did you sleep?
In the street.
If you didn't sell chewing gum, what would you have done? How would you have got enough money to eat?
Kung walang kang gum para magbebenta, anong ibang kamarunong gawin?
Namamalimos po.
Namamalimos eh. Yeah, so she said we beg, really.
And did you get much money from the foreigners?
Malaki nakita mo ang pera sa mga dayuhan dyan?
Minsan pumaabot ng 500.
Sometimes, we would even get 500 pesos.
So, pinakamababa po sa akin, 100.
And when we're begging, the lowest I would get would be 100 pesos.
And would they just give you the money or would they ask for anything?
Kasi po, kaya po nila ka na gusto. Karamihan po sa akin, mga negro kasi ka same color ko eh.
They would say that sometimes they had a child also that looked like her, they would say, to make friends with her. And then, well, you know, then they'd give her some money.
Hindi pa, papabait naman po yung mga kaibigan ko eh.
Sino mga kaibigan mo dun?
Marami po.
You mean ang mga kano?
Mga negro po karamihan sa akin, pero po hindi po nila ka binabastos.
Yeah, they were all right to me, you know, and they were not doing any bad things to me.
What about your friends?
Opo, katulad po si Christina.
Yeah. Yes, they did bad things to my friend Christina. That's the little girl who was abused.
I don't deny the social problems that go with the establishment of any military base anywhere around the world.
Stan Schrager is Counselor for Public Affairs at the United States Embassy in Manila.
Certainly, Alangapo has its prostitution. It has all the social ills that you describe, but they're not unique, I think, to Alangapo. Alangapo and the American military bases do not bring prostitution to this country. It exists in the country. It exists in other countries around the world that do not have military bases. We're aware, however, of the negative aspects of the presence of the bases. We work closely with local administration officials, with local government officials, with officials of Alangapo to try to manage this situation and prevent the more unsavory aspects of the whole problem from coming to the fore. We think, though, that although there's a downside, we think the city of Alangapo has progressed and benefited economically from the presence of the bases. And if you go through Alangapo and talk to city officials, I think they'll be the first to tell you that on balance, the presence of the bases have been economically advantageous for the city of Alangapo.
What are the more unsavory aspects that you talk about there containing those?
I'm talking about prostitution and AIDS, and, we have a lot of security there, and we try to control it as much as possible. We work with local government and local police authorities as much as we can to dampen the situation.
Now, one of your fiercest critics, I suppose, is Father Shay Cullen, who works at the Prada Center in Alangapo City. And one of the allegations he makes, and he has made it, I think, in the past, is that U.S. servicemen have been involved in child sexual abuse, and I believe some cases have already been filed against certain servicemen.
I don't deny that that indeed may exist, and I think I respect Father Cullen, I respect what he stands for, and we work with the authorities in Alangapo to deal with some of this. I said the more unsavory aspects of this entire situation. I think all I can say is that we're aware of the problems and we're cognizant of them. We don't endorse them. We don't promote them. We harshly criticize them. And any serviceman, for example, found guilty of any Philippine crime will be put on trial and not, as many people think, spirited out of the country. That simply does not happen.
Are they put on trial here?
They are indeed, or the case is settled out of court, which is most likely the way it works in the Philippine judicial system. Only 1% approximately of our people receive what's called an official duty certificate, which means they were on official duty when this alleged incident took place. And a lot of Filipinos, I think, have the wrong impression. We're very strict about that.
But if they're off duty, it's different, is it?
If they're off duty, that's correct. It's totally different, and they're subject to Philippine laws, and we have what we call an international hold, which means that these servicemen do not leave the Philippines until this case is settled, either through the normal judicial system or by an out-of-court settlement.
Right. This here now is Magsaysay Drive. We're going to swing left here. Magsaysay is the main industrial area of Alangapo. There's no other industry here. There's no other factories except nightclubs, bars, and these massage parlors here all along the way. Most of them, as you can see, have a very distinctive U.S. Flavor, as you can make by their names. We have the home of the mechanical bull right in here, where they do wild-dressed bull riding on a big machine, and they all dress up in cowboy clothes.
The women?
No, the men. But the women also put on some boots and stitten hats, no, to please the customers. And this other place over here is, Johnny's Beer Tavern, and then we have the East Coast, the Rolling Stones nightclub here. There's a few more that used to be quite notorious. Now, many of these nightclubs were found by the U.S. Navy investigators to be selling drugs openly, and they reported it to the authorities inside the base, and the authorities decided to close the clubs temporarily, put them off limits. But the Longapore mayor went and talked to the admiral and had the ban lifted. We have Wimpy's here, we have Kelly's Fast Food, we have the Stag Bar, and the Power Station. These are some of the popular clubs. Blue Heaven and the Sexton Hotel is over here, which doesn't leave much to the imagination. Many of these women over here we see on the right hand side, they're all waiting for customers to come. This is Sam's Hotel, or Uncle Sam's Hotel. That's appropriate. You have the Naval Bazaar over there. Down here you have the Dirty Rock and the Dirty Bird, no? Woodstock. Sometimes along here you see these shore patrols. These are the U.S. Navy. They come out here and they patrol the city streets themselves. I think just two of them in uniform pass by there, and they arrest their own men. You see here, if any of these sailors violates Philippine law and abuses any of the women, they're not automatically under the jurisdiction of the Philippine government. They are immediately picked up and brought inside the base. Usually they get off scot-free. We'll move on down the street now and we'll approach the gate. Right here, unfortunately, right in the middle of the nightclubs and bars, you have the Catholic school here and the church. And that's where many of the women go to pray before they go to work, hoping they'll get a good man, or they'll get a man who won't bruise them and beat them. Yeah, many of them very genuine and sincere, you know, because they can get quite a bad time, you know, on the job. And some of them have to take drugs so they could endure what they have to do, you know. And many of them are very ashamed and find it very difficult. So when you see them inside the nightclub, standing up there on a pedestal, practically naked, and they're just gyrating like robots, no? It's because they've taken some drugs, no? To try to help them to do it. So here, right ahead of us now, you see here you have a base entrance over there, and that goes across the bridge that separates the city from the military base.
That's the entrance into the base there.
That's the entrance right into the base, yeah. They fortified it now because of recent threats from the NPA. So they put up sandbag machine gun emplacements just inside some of the gates. And this one here has been reinforced because of this. Wow, you can get the bad stench coming from the river. Yeah, there's no sewage treatment plant for this whole city of 250,000 people. So all of the septic tanks, no, and some houses without septic tanks, no. So the raw sewage flows right here into the river. And street kids, some of my boys are telling me that when they are running away from the police, they jump right into that river. You know, it's like a gooey, dirty soup, you know. So it's really terrible. Now we're moving down here and we're going to head off for the Booklet Center. The Booklet Center was a drop-in center for women, so they'd have some place of refuge to go. We helped to set this up, you know, back in 1986. And it got going practically a year later. And it's a place where the women can go, where they can learn something about the dangers of AIDS, how to protect themselves, how to be assertive, you know, and to try and protect their own sense of dignity and self-worth, and to get counseling and help, you know. It's it's a start and a hope that it might lead to even greater things, you know, like alternative industry and jobs for them, because, you know, the women here are supporting their children, their parents, back in the provinces, sending them to school. Their brothers and sisters go to school on their earnings. They keep nothing for themselves, and that's why they're always poor. They never can earn or save or get themselves out of this mess.
What happens when they get older?
Well, they're always hoping that they meet a really nice guy who'll marry them, but they very rarely happens, you know. The nice guy is really nice to himself, and he drops them. That's why sometimes, the women are like Kleenex women. They're just used and thrown away. So it's a very dehumanizing business altogether here.
I met Linda, a former bar waitress who now works at the Buckload Women's Centre, which among its services provides night care for the women's children while they're out working in the bars. There were only a few children there the night I visited because there were no ships in, which meant few of the women were working. Before the centre provided night care, the women used to have to take their children with them to the bars.
You sleep in the chair, or some of the waitress or some of the women watch their children, something like that. And there's also one reason that we decided to have some night care center. Most of our children here are infants, 2 months old, above. We have one girl here is only 7 years old. She's the oldest girl here.
Linda started working in the bars when she separated from her husband. She couldn't manage to support her 5 children with the money she got from her candy selling business.
That time I'm really depressed, no? So I decided to work in the bars. But before that, I have a small business, no, to candies, but it's not enough for my family. So one of my neighbor here, he said that why. She's offered me to work in the bars. I said, I don't like that, to work in that place, no? But she said, you don't work as an entertainer or a hostess. Instead, waitress. So I said, and then she said that, yeah, you make lots of money because the place you work is American sailors, no? And then I said, give me a chance, no? Give me a break. Because I don't really want to work in that place. And then, so that time, nobody's helped me. Even my parents, they don't know that I'm already separated with my husband. And then I decided to work at that place. So I start working in one open bar as a waitress.
In Ilongapo, most of the bar women don't see the men only as customers, but as their boyfriends. But many are disappointed when they never hear from the sailors once their ship has left.
Many military, you know, just promise you to a big, for example, to the other women. Even me also, it happened to me one time, and he promised me to marry me or to support me, something like that. So I'm also waiting, but until he left, no? He don't send you some letter or what. So it's bullshit. But, and many women got a case, no? For their promise to, even though they know already that the women's pregnant, and then they said, okay, I support you, I send some money for the baby, something like that. But when their ships left, no more communication already. They don't send some letter or what.
Like many in Ilongapo, Linda has ambivalent feelings about the US base. She says that for many women who have little or no education, working in the bars is the only choice they've got.
I cannot say that it's bad, or for me it's bad, no, because many people's already, especially the women's, no, but there's no choice also for them, because most of the women here, they got lack of knowledge, no? So they cannot find a nice job, because most of them, they're only elementary grades, and the rest, they got no grade one, or, I mean, they cannot really know how to read or to write, something like that. So they got no choice. That's why the said, oh, I think it's better if I go to Olongapo because it's easy to make money there. You know? Got a base. You know?
Many of the women in the bars take drugs like cough syrup and Valium to overcome their shyness and to make the work more bearable.
Some of the women who work in that place, they make lots of money because before they start working, they take some drugs. So lots of drugs, no? They take syrups, and
cough
then
syrup.
Cough syrups and volumes and speed. Because so after that they don't try, no. And then most of them, they don't know what they are doing to the military servicemen. That's why they make more money. Yeah, that's the only way to make money, because if you're not, for example, me, I don't take some drugs, no? And then if I talk to the customer, I feel shy, no? So I don't talk, no? I just leave him, and then I just ask him only if she wants some more drink, something like that. Yeah.
Although Linda worked as a waitress in the bars, she was reluctant to actually go out with customers. But she says she was forced to sometimes when she hadn't enough money to feed her children or to buy their school things. And she found it very hard to explain to her children what was happening when she'd bring a customer back to their home.
I'm crying that time, but I don't show them, no? Because I don't want to see that I'm crying, something like that. And then I said, I bring some customer in the house because we got no money, and then how you can eat if I don't, because at that time there's no ship in town. No, sometimes 2 months, 3 months no ship in town. And sometimes we work, no, and then we live in the bars empty. Even once in Tabos, we can no income. So it's really hard. And then I rent the house 300 peso. And then I got 5 children. How I can support them if there's no ship in town? So sometimes even against and my say, even I against, no? I mean, especially to go to the customers, but because of poverty,
no,
or no, got no choice, I mean, and then I'm not paying my college, so, no? So what can I do? So I said, maybe if you one day, maybe you understand the situation, no? why you say me with somebody else, no? So now, they understand already, but they can really cannot accept me, you know, I'm working in the club. And then if somebody asked him, oh, your mama got boyfriend already. And then they smile, nah, no, so something like that. So when I work, or when I'm already a staff of Boklo, they said, oh, they're happy because I'm not working in the clubs no more.
Linda then reluctantly agreed to accompany me to one of the bars in Olongapo. She was uncomfortable because she said the women from the bookload centre are regarded with hostility by most bar managers. We went to the runway bar where 2 women dressed in bikinis were dancing zombie-like on a small stage. There were only a few customers, 3 US servicemen, who weren't too keen to be interviewed.
So are you from the Navy?
Yes, I am. I'm shy, you know, I'm shy.
Can I talk to you for a minute? It's Roisin Boyd from Irish Radio.
No, you can't.
No, why not?
Because I'm not Irish. I'm American.
Are you from the base?
No, I'm retired.
Ah, and you live here in Olongapo?
No, I live in the United States.
Do you not want to talk, no?
I don't want to talk.
Back on the street, I asked some sailors what they thought of Olongapo and the criticisms levelled against prostitution in the city.
It doesn't bother me, not really, because it's their way of life. You know, nothing we can do about that.
You from the base?
Yes, I am. Uh-huh. I just got here 6 weeks ago, right?
Right. And is this your first time here?
No, it's my second time. I was here temporary for 2 months, right? I like Olongapo. People here get friendly people, but because it's a third world country, then you're going to have situation where people is going to be trying to make what they can of each other, right?
And do you go to the bars?
Yes, I do.
Hmm?
Yes, I do. Why I go to bars? Because the bars here is much different from where I'm from, right? In the States,
How are they different?
How are they different? Because for one reason, you got a lot more ladies, which is something that a lot of guys would like, you know, ladies, ladies, ladies.
What do you think about people who say that the base is very bad for the Philippines, that, you know, that women are exploited here?
It's not very much exploited because it's a different country, right? Different country, you can expect different things. And since the different things is going on, and it's the environment that we're in, a third world country, and you can expect that, you know, the people are going to be doing different things that are different than what we are used to in the United States, so.
There are frequent demonstrations against the U.S. bases in the Philippines. Just last week, when talks started between the U.S. and the Philippine government about the future of the bases, whose lease expires next year, there were clashes between police and demonstrators. This protest outside the U.S. Embassy in Manila, however, was peaceful, and Bishop Tiplish of the Independent Philippine Church told me why he was protesting against the bases.
It has influenced our Filipino life here. It has dictated our economic policies, and it has brought AIDS to the Philippines. The U.S. bases is a target, for nuclear war. We do not want that. We have no enemies. The United States have enemies. Well, why bring the war here in the Philippines? That's why we are against. We want the United States to dismantle their bases here, because we do not want that those bases here. It only gives harm. It's a way of shortening our lives while we promote lives. Christianity must promote life and not death. This U.S. basis is a manifestation of death. It must be out of the country. It must be dismantled.
Kahit sa mga mayaman ay di lubos ang kanilang kasiyahan, sa buhay ng mahirap ay gayon din, lalo pat kay dami mong mga utang. O buhay.
I was ordained in Easter 1969 in Dalgan Park with the Colombians. And the following September, I arrived in the Philippines. And I was, within a week or two, I was assigned here to Longopo City. And immediately I began working in the sacramental ministry in the city parish of St. Joseph's. But right outside the gates of the church compound, there were bars and clubs, you know, just within a short distance. And in the school, I began to meet so many of the students, and they were having so many drug problems and so many family problems, broken homes and all the rest of it.
You weren't prepared for that, were you?
No, I wasn't prepared for that work. We were expecting to just work within the sacramental ministry at first. But in my mind, I had other ideas too of how we might be able to contribute, you know, to the problems, you know, in a, you know, of the country, and how to be more missionary. Mm-hmm. So I began to look for special ways in which to help young people.
Now, it was the time of the Vietnam War when you came here.
Well, yes, when I first came here, and every month there were many, many ships coming here. This was a main sort of a storage area for all the munitions for the Vietnam War, and it was also a jump-off point to launch the invasion of the Asian mainland, and that's still the purpose of these bases here.
During the Vietnam War, Longapo became the busiest port in the Western Pacific, with thousands of GIs coming from Vietnam for rest and recreation.
Okay, yeah, there was thousands of GIs coming in here at that time, and I was very aware of all the abuse that was going on, and the women and what was happening to them, and it was really a tragic situation. They came here for what they called rest and recreation, you know, have a good time, what they couldn't find in Saigon at those days, they came here for it. There was a thriving sex industry here, the flesh trade. There was no other industry, and there is no other industry here at this time. And all the hatred they saw within the battlefields of Vietnam, and they, you know, they spewed it out here in the bars and the nightclubs, and Filipinos were the victims, really, of all that anger. Yeah, coming straight in here from the battle zones. And, you know, it was really a Wild West type situation they had here.
Prostitution is technically illegal in the Philippines, so the women in Ilongapo are usually called entertainers or hostesses. 7,000 of these women have permits granted by the mayor's office in Ilongapo. They also have to undergo regular medical checks for VD and AIDS. The Social Hygiene Centre in Ilongapo carries out these checks with the help of the US authorities.
This is in large part funded by what we call NAMRU, which is our Naval Assistance Medical Research Unit, that works with Philippine health authorities and the testing and the follow-up and the counseling and the consultation are worked out in consultation, in agreement between us and with the Department of Health of the Philippines.
Is that not, in a sense, though, encouraging the whole area of prostitution?
I don't think so, and I don't know how you're going to prevent the whole area of prostitution. I think one way, of course, and I think we deplore the unsavory aspects of all this, but one way to help it, of course, is to build up the economy and to make the economic pie larger so all these young women with no training and little education can find jobs and get an education and find worthwhile ways to practice a profession without having to indulge in prostitution. And I think the story of many societies and many countries have shown that as the economy gets better, the level and the percentage and the segment of those engaged in prostitution goes down.
But Shay Cullen's not going to stop his campaign against prostitution, and it's meant that he's unpopular with the authorities and business people of Ilongapo.
They try to intimidate, no, by filing complaints with the Commission on Immigration and Deportation in Manila. But they rushed these charges there, and it was discovered that they had filed charges and that the prosecutor apparently was paid off because he filed the charges without having any evidence. And the affidavits that they were ordered to produce a month later showed the dates were after the charges were filed. So he had no affidavits on which to file charges, except on hearsay.
Do you ever have threats made against you?
Well, yeah, we've had threats, distant threats, you know, armed men being seen in the vicinity, you know, at one time. Black ribbons, you know, tied to the bushes outside our center. Things like that. Armed men going to visit the outside the house of our staffers. You know, so that's...
Armed men?
Well, they looked armed. There's some in uniforms. They looked like paramilitary or, you know, guns for hire, you know. And even guns for hire will dress in a military fatigue to look like military. You don't know who they are. It's very difficult. But it's certainly alarming at times. But anyway, the way we look on it and my staff, we accept it as part of our work. And it's no less than many Christians are suffering elsewhere and far worse in Mindanao and in the Visayan Islands, in Negros. My God, you know, it's terrible down there. They're shot dead. There's no armed men giving warnings and no threats. They're just killed and the bodies are thrown there like, you know, garbage. It's terrible. I mean, at least here we don't feel that terribly threatened, although it is a cause for caution and alarm.
At the Prada Centre, Shay Cullen and his staff, as well as fighting for the children's rights, are attempting to give them back what they've lost of their childhood.
We have a legal service, you know, and we fight for the kids and, you know, try to get them out of jail at least. And we invite them to come here to the centre and start a new life and find childhood again, you know, and play and go to the beach and, you know, sing songs and have fun, you know, just really live it up, you know, it's just, and go to school. Now, we try to work with their parents, if we can find their parents and reconcile the child to the mother or the father, as the case may be. The kids cannot always go home because there might be a sex abuser somewhere in the neighborhood or in the family, usually in the family, and sometimes the stepfather or, a distant relative who's come to stay with the family. That's common. And so the child has nowhere to go except on the streets. But also there's cases of physical abuse with all the poverty, and the mother can't look after them. And you can't blame the mother sometimes also, for she's washing clothes all day and can hardly stop even to buy a bit of food, no? And five or six kids and to look after. And of course, it's a terrible situation. So she will, be angry with the kids and they run away, and freedom for the child is on the street. And we try to respect that freedom. They're not locked up here, no way, it's open house. But they stay because they want to, because they're ready to stay, because we can persuade them and convince them that they have a chance of the future, work for it. And our skill is motivation, really, and rapport, getting to know the kids. And that's how we find out about the sexual abuse, because they come to trust us. Now, when street kids come to trust you, then you're on your way, because these are smart cookies. These children are really streetwise, and you have to know how to talk to them and how to relate with them, and very soon they will respond to a frank and honest approach and straight talking. We really are frank and honest. And, they've seen the world from both sides. And so we get them to school and they have a new life. Not all make it, but some go back to the streets. But they'll come back later at another time when they're ready.
Sandaling maging bata, kung pwede lang sana'y malaman ko ang bukas ay pangarap.
Don't take away my time to be a child. Let me breathe the air with you. Give me room to be and space to see. Lend me a name, our voice to see my dreams. Tell me, can I share your world with me? I am one young dream.